Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. At the 3:30 Searching the Scriptures class this afternoon, there will be an open discussion on the topic or topics the class wishes to initiate. So bring your questions, and as usual, Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the search to find the answers in the Scriptures. Please refer to your bulletin for other activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during this coming week and next Sunday. Just a note of caution, we had a car burglarized in the parking lot last Sunday. So as a precautionary measure, it would be well to keep your windows up and your doors locked. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 109, verse 30. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 50, Fairest Lord Jesus. Continue our worship now with hymn number 231, Jesus Saves. Stand now as we sing hymn number 454, What a Wonderful Savior.
Thank you. Please remain standing for prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence in the name of our Lord Jesus, our High Priest, our only and true God and intercessor of our life. And we are grateful for the day of our salvation, the day which our soul saw the truth in Thy Word. The day when we believe that Jesus died for my sins, that He paid it all, and that He is alive, and that one day He is coming back to rescue me and give me a resurrected body. Thank You, Father, for that wonderful experience. And now, Lord, we are thankful that we can take now the place of the apostles and the place of the people that were before us 2,000 years ago and preach the truth of Thy Word and worship the Lord as we did already through the songs. And Father, as the choir will praise Your name, we are loving that moment when we hear the praises to Jesus. As Thy sacred Word is going to be read, we pray that our hearts be touched. And as we look into Thy Word, I pray that You, O God, will give me words of wisdom, that You will teach me how to communicate to Your people, not my thoughts, not my ideas, but Your thoughts, Your ideas, Your guidelines. And later on, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, what a precious moment to remember that Jesus Christ died for my sins. To remember that took the life of Christ for me today to worship. Oh God, thank You for giving us an ordinance of remembrance of what Christ has done. As a church body, Father, we are grateful that You allow us to broadcast over the airways of KKMC from Salinas all the way to San Jose, Highway 5, and all the way to Fremont. Thank You, Father. And also, Father, we are thankful that we have the internet across the world, and we receive letters from Japan, from Korea, from America. We are so grateful that we can broadcast the truth of the living God everywhere, as You told us in the Scripture. Father, as a family, we have people who are sometimes in pain and experiencing stress. We pray for Louis, Lord, who is new in our church. He has become a wonderful man. And now his grandma has been taken into Your presence. We pray for comfort as he fellowship with the family in this very difficult moment. We pray for Carla Galeotto as she is laid in home with sickness. We pray, Lord, that Your comfort be her experience. For our wonderful Loretta Forrest, for now more than 3 years in bed with cancer, she is an expression of the gospel, a joy to visit with her. Thank You for her, Father. For our brother Mac Dowell, who have experienced some difficulties, it's so good to see him in church today. For Ann Pirretto, how wonderful it is to see it here. Lord, thank You that You are kind with us and allow us to recover. And for our wonderful missionaries, for Fred and Carol Lewis, now in Pasadena in the seminary, after 25 years of service as missionaries, now they're going to teach missionaries what the mission field is all about. Thank You, Lord, for a place for them. For Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. For Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benalmadena, Spain. David and Denise Rode in Papua, New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Vendano in Guatemala. Marta Paretti in Buenos Aires, and I look forward, Lord, to be with the Rehabilitation Center the coming week. Dante and Maruja Rabines in Iquitos, Peru. Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica. And for our local missionaries, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Sport Ministries, as Daniel is the chaplain in NASCAR in different races. Thank You, Lord, that You allow us to have a variety of missionaries with a variety of gifts. Lord, we have unity without uniformity. Thank You. You are so good. We love You. Now, Lord, I thank You for the support that your people have for the ministry. And I thank you for the offering and thank you for the giver. In precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
My redemption and for
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of John. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 628. We will be reading John chapter 8, verses 29 through 51. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 8, verses 29 through 51. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the great blessings we enjoy because you sent the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that if he did not come to be our righteousness, our lives would be meaningless, they would be worthless. We thank you for the words of life found in the Scriptures, that the ultimate bondage is not political or economic slavery, but spiritual bondage to sin. We rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered us from the hopelessness of sin and set us free. Our hope and our confidence is in him, and we pray for strength, that our grateful response would always be to follow him in obedience. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he further exposes your plain teaching, clarifies the teaching from the scriptures. Bless us here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may continue to learn and grasp how great you are. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Please be seated.
Before we open the scripture, I'd like to have a word of prayer. I forgot about a call that came this morning from a very beloved brother, Ramil, as he landed from Texas in his business back into the city. He got a call that his father is in the hospital with difficulties of heart. He already had two heart surgeries. So Ramil is in San Francisco at this time, so we will pray. Father, we remember those that we love very deeply. And I remember Ramil's friendship with me very, very strong. And when he left that call, my heart was tear apart. Lord, do what you have to do to touch the life of his father. May your will be done. And may Ramil be in comfort. In Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. We ask you to open your Bible in John in chapter 8, page 628. From time to time, I give you the page number if you use the Bible that is in the pew. Today is our first sermon. It's our first Sunday of March. Can you imagine? March, first Sunday today for the year 2007. And I tell you, every first Sunday, we remember in our church the Lord Jesus. If I was in my country of origin, then we remember every Sunday. We have the Lord's Supper at 7 o'clock in the morning before everything starts. Now, the Bible tells us, if you have one hand in John and you move your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians, there is clear what the Lord's Supper really is. Now, one of my simple ways of reasoning in the Bible is this. If the Bible say is, all right, like people say, what is the fear of the Lord? The Bible said in Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is. And that I put everything I got in my life when the Bible say is and whatever is, all right. Now, what the Lord's Supper is in 1 Corinthians 11, look, in verse 23, Paul reminds the church of Corinth his experience. And in verse 24, he says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He's not saying you get saved by doing this or you do this. You just remember me. Now look, in verse 25, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he has supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me. So I try for 25 years in our church to preach a different sermon on the Lord's Supper on remembrance of Christ. It is a challenge, but you can preach thousands and thousands of sermons on Christ. I want to call your attention today to something very interesting in the Gospel of John in chapter 8. And the interesting part in the Gospel of John in chapter 8 is that Jesus will use the word if. And between verse 29 to verse 51, he will use the word if 6 times. Not only just 1 time, but 6 times. Reminds me of my grandmother. I love to play soccer from childhood. Became later on a professional one. But, I said, well, I want to play, practice. And she said, well, you can do that if you clean the dishes. Thank God my grandma did that because my wife is enjoying that part of my life. I don't know how to cook. I die if I cook. But I clean. I'm a super guy who cleans well, and I always felt if a woman put the time to cook for you, we should do something for her to relax after dinner and clean for her. I think that's a part of our responsibility, but that's another thing. And some of the men are looking to me like that. So, what can we remember about Jesus? John gave us this Eve, and as you remember grammar, the easy way to remember Eve is a conjunction that introduces a condition or a stipulation. And I don't go into the stipulation because it's a four-class stipulation and so on. If you study grammar, you don't want grammar on Sunday morning. But it is a condition, all right? Each time the word if is presented, it is a condition. Now, what are Jesus' conditions that he is so excited that he used that word six times? I provided for you an outline so that you don't have to write. And then I want you to look in the Bible, because this is the truth and the light of God. Okay, let's work together. The first condition is the if of discipleship. The if of becoming a disciple. Somebody who follows somebody to the end. A disciple. You know, young boys in America, maybe they like baseball, and they maybe like their football in America, and they look to some player, and they're trying to imitate that player. All right? In my youngest day of my life as a goalie, we had no television, only radio, and so my uncle will take me to the field where they play soccer, and I will look to that fellow who I want to imitate his life as he was a great goalie. I became a disciple of him, just doing what he was doing. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, verse 31. If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. I want to outline two things for you, the condition and the reason. Now, what's the condition to become a disciple? You have to continue in the word of God. All the years of your life. All the years of your life. I was, by accident, I had to teach the college class today, and Brother Ramil was not there, and we look into one verse who expressed to this, and it's just so important you continue in your word. I received a letter from a very large association of Baptist churches. I know Spanish by nature, and so they asked me to speak in a convention in the country of Panama again, and they want me to preach from a book called Farah, to teach the husband how to be good husbands. Well, I have a better book than that one. It's this one. This book will teach a husband to scare to death. As a matter of fact, the speaker said, if that is so, I will not get married. How much responsibility comes in a man when he marries. And so, there are a lot of people who start in the Word of God and then sidetrack to different books. Don't go to psychology books, philosophy books, history books. Just go to only one book. And you know a good preacher because you know it through the years. He's only going to open the Bible and teach the Bible to you. That's the condition. Now, what's the reason? Why did Jesus is so hot about the Bible? See, I've been with the college now. I got their vocabulary. What did Jesus is like that? Why? Okay, two reasons why. If you move your Bible to Psalm 119, which we do in this psalm in a Wednesday night, and I hope my brother will do that, my brother Greg, when I'm not here. Psalm 119, page 379, and verse 11, here's the reason why God said, if you are my disciples, you have to continue in my word. Psalm 119, page 379, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. You are to keep in the Word so you avoid sin. You have to get so involved in the Word that you have to say to yourself, each time a decision is coming, I wonder what God will say about that. Don't think it in anything else than in the Word. I wonder what God will say about that. I wonder what God's opinion is on this, which is absolute, as we learned today in Jeremiah chapter 10. Absolute. I wonder where the absolute is. And so that's one reason to avoid sin. To avoid, and sin, I use it as the term, there are three terms, as a Greek term, amartia. A means no, martia is to shoot and hit the target. Amartia is to shoot and just miss it. And so your intentions can be good. Your life can be intense in doing things right. But if you don't do it God's way, there will be no right. Even if it's the opinion of the best man. Today in Jeremiah said, oh, you kings. Jeremiah is talking about all the kings around Israel. He said, you may have your opinion, but if you don't have the God of Israel, you have no God. And that's true. That's true. All right. Now, reason number one, to avoid sin. And then also, if you look, go back to John in page 633 in chapter 15. In verse 7 in your Bible, look at what Jesus says. If ye abide in me, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done to you. Power and prayer. A person who is in the Bible will never ask in prayer something to God that is not really good for God. In other words, if you are in the Bible, if you read the Bible continually, and if you dwell on the Scripture, you will never pray wrong. You will pray right. We learned last Sunday, we pray under the fear of God, if thy will be. And we learn to accept the will of God above our will. And here's what this text said. Power and prayer. You ask the Lord. Be sure that what you want to ask is there in the Bible. All right? And God will it's excellent. Read the Bible and 1 year say, I want to read the Bible to mark my Bible. All the things I can ask God. Do that. I have 12 Bible. I enjoy myself. Enjoy 1 hour in the morning. Get up at 5 o'clock. And just mark it. Enjoy. This is excited. Excite the book, young people. They give you the wisdom, the understanding of people in an amazing way. So the if of discipleship is this. The condition is, if you want to be a disciple of the Lord, you stay on the Word of God. And your life becomes clean. The authority of a pastor is know how much he knows Hebrew or Greek. It's a clean life. It's a clean life. You may know the entire Greek and Hebrew, and if you don't have a clean life, it's zero. You need to resign. You cannot start all over again. Remember Moses? God moved it away. And if God moved Moses for one mistake, we pastors should tremble in our office and carefully. And that's why I'm so careful for counseling and so on. So careful. Because your life cannot even have a suspicious from anybody. It's like a life of a judge. Has to be impeccable. Somebody told me, Dr. Schaefer, LaBrie Schaefer, told me when I started, so now you know I'm old. He told me, he said, when you become a pastor, your life, your house, everything you are is a crystal house. Everybody needs to see through. And that will become your authority. But nothing happens like that unless you have the Word of God in your brain. And controls you. So the if of discipleship. You must be a believer. Are you a disciple? Get on. Get on the Word of God. Get on the Word of God and become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Number two, the if of freedom. Verse 36. In John 8 and verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
What's the condition? Now, you saw the word son in capital S. It's not a capital in the original, but the translators in the wonders of translation, there are three words for son. One is used in John 1:12. You become, by believing, you become a son. Rather, the word is technia, you become a baby in the Lord. But here's the word wheel, which means you become a mature person. If a son, a mature son of God, shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. Now, what is the reason? Verse 34, please. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. Now, I say, I met this nice fellow. And I always said to the girls who tell me that, is he a believer? Well, Pastor, he's a great guy. Is he a believer? Pastor, he walks so good, you know. He looks almost like you. All right. Here is the psychology of an unbeliever. 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians, page 671. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Now, don't get offended for what the Bible said, okay? Please don't get offended. This is what God said. This is a diagnosis of your brain, soul, and life. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit, or does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the eve of freedom, you need to know the Son, because if you remain in your own knowledge, you have no freedom whatsoever. You are under the manipulation of the so-called science, 1 Corinthians 2, who will teach you crazy things to you. They will develop your mind thinking that you really know. And if you don't know the Son, you really know nothing about freedom. The freedom of the soul. The freedom of the soul. The reason, the condition is you need to know the Son. Now look, go farther with this. 1 John chapter 4, page 719. 1 John chapter 4. Page 719. In verses 9 and verse 10. Look at what the Bible says. And this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son, capital S again, wheel, Son resurrected. That word was changed to capital S in Romans 1:4, by the way. Son, into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, to be our place for our sins. Unless you know that basic truth of the gospel, then there is no life in you. You need to know that Jesus came and died for you, individually, personally. And he paid for your sins. See, Satan knows that. And at the moment that Jesus was crucified, then Satan moved the people saying, remember, I'm going to preach on April about this. They say, they stole him. 2,000 years later, we have people making a movie, finding coffins with the name Jesus. The name Jesus in Israel is the name, like the name Joseph in Spain. Everybody is Joseph. All right? And finding these, and finding another coffin, and say, here is Jesus, his son, and his family. All right? And in a beautiful coffin, expensive. When you read in the Bible, and Jesus was taken out of the cross, there was no place where to place him. All right? And there was no place under the tomb of that church days today, was placed in Joseph of Arimathea tomb, in a different place, in a different location, and was embalmed in a place in a coffin, who came 300 years after Jesus. The coffin. The people were no place in coffin at the time of Jesus. I wrote the big letter, sent it to the director. I said, what a liar he is. Yeah, I got offended. It is a lie. And I tell you, here it is. And you people who do not believe have taken the lie from everybody and believe a lie rather than believing the truth. You cannot be saved from hell by yourself, by your good deeds, or by whatever you have. You have to take Jesus' work on Calvary Cross. He died there for me, and when I believe that, then I got the freedom that now my soul is resurrected, and I'm with God. It's simple like that. But the devil knows, and they're trying to blind everybody. So the freedom, the if of freedom, you have to believe in the Son. You don't have to believe in me. You don't have to believe in the church. You have to believe in the Son. The if of service, verse 39. I want to serve the Lord. Verse 39 in John chapter 8. You go to page 628 again. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Now these Jews that were talking to him, they were smart cookies. Jesus said unto them, here is the word again. If ye were Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. Abraham's children. I'm a half Spanish, half Arab descendant. You know that offensive to an Arab to say you have to be Abraham's children, even though the Arabs love Abraham. Abraham's children, it was a word for only the Jewish people. The Arabs never were called Abraham's children. What that means? I'll tell you what that means. Go to the first book of the Bible in chapter 15 of Genesis. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. Genesis 1 to 6. And I show you that these were children of the covenant. Look at here. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him, Abraham, forth abroad and said, Look, and now to heaven. And tell these stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now, what Abraham will do? Verse 6. And he believed in the Lord and was counted unto righteousness. See, in the Bible, Abraham is the father of our faith. And you cannot be a servant of the Lord unless you believe first. Now, you say, well, that's logic. Wow. I saw a person passing tracks in the airport. And I said, well, how wonderful. And what is this track for? He said, well, this is about Jesus. And what is it about this fellow? He said, well, you have to believe in him. Why do I have to believe in him? And then I said, do you believe? No, yet, he said. And he's passing the track. He wanted me to buy his stuff, but he don't believe in his stuff. What kind of salesman is he? You know, people don't play around. As I travel in America, you meet all kinds of people. All kinds of people. And the Bible is so clear. The if of service, the condition, you need to be a child of God. You need to have the experience of Abraham. You believe, and when you believe, then you can serve. Now, what's the reason? Go to James. Page 712, page 2, chapter 2, verse 26. Here is what the Bible says. In James 2, 26, and the page number is 712. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. In other words, I cannot have the works of God unless I have the faith of God. I cannot sell a product that I don't believe with. How can I say to somebody, believe, when I have not believed? And so the eve of discipleship is, the eve of servanthood is, are you sure you are a believer? 100% a believer that Christ had died for your sin, and now you're a child of God. Now you have the fruit of the Spirit within you, and you're going to develop this. But if you have no Christ in you, you have not the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible said in Ephesians 1:13 that once I believe, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit. Immediately after I believe, the Holy Spirit came to me and gave me all those beautiful 9 fruits within me. Now I have a responsibility to live up to that kind of fruits that God has provided for me. The eve of servanthood. Next one is the eve of sonship. Verse 42. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. The eve of sonship. What is the condition? If God was your Father. Now, I want to show you, you're in John 8. Move your Bible to the wonderful passage in John chapter 1. Jesus came for the Jewish people to enhance their life and to save their life. John chapter 1 and verse 11. The Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Did God fail? I asked a Jewish person one time, he was teaching Hebrew. I learned Hebrew well, so I was teaching in the Hebrew university. And I said, did God fail? He came to his Jewish people. He came to you. He came as a Messiah. And you received him not. Did God fail? So we don't acknowledge him. Hold it. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. The word is authority. To become the sons of God. We see the word the sons, the children, the babies. Technia. The babies of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. God has established this, and God has put this, the eve of sonship. What is the condition? Focus on the Lord Jesus. The Jewish people rejected. God did not fail. He expanded the wonders of Christ. And now we believe. Now, what is the reason? John 14. In verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. You know it by heart. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father by me. The eve of sonship. No one can call God our heavenly Father unless you really have come to the Lord Jesus. The church can preach about Jesus, but I cannot take you and present it to Christ. Christ will do it. I can pray for you. I can intercede for you. But that means that I pray the Holy Spirit will move you to believe directly in him. It's not a third person category. It's a person to person category. Yes, we can pray for you. Yes, we can lift up your name and lift up your needs. But the first need a man or a woman have is the need of understanding the Lord Jesus. Believing in him. What he has done. This, the eve of sonship. Now, verse 46. The eve of responsibility. Verse 46. Which of you convince me of sin? Is not that a challenge? Can you imagine if you go to your wife, man, and said, can you convince me of sin? Oh, she said, right, let me get the book. She had the book and give it to you. All right? Now, that has to be God who can speak like that. Which of you convince me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? If I say the truth. The eve of responsibility. The condition is conviction. You come to church, we enjoy to have you here. You fellowship with us, we love you. But listen, that's no savior. You need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. That's why God sent the Holy Spirit. Look with me in John 16. I don't have this in the notes, but it just came to my mind. John 16, verse 7. Look at what the Holy Spirit does. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. For what? Why do we have the Holy Spirit on earth? Verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, convict the world of sin, righteousness and judgment. Of sin because they believe not in me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Not only enlightening and teaching you the scripture, but convicting you. I cannot convict you. I cannot convince you. I can show you from the scripture point of view what God said. But there's only one person that can penetrate your life, change your heart, which is in a stone, and put a flesh heart, and that's the Holy Spirit. The E for responsibility. Actually, I'm not responsible for you. Once you are in the service, you are responsible by yourself. I'm not responsible for you. I'm responsible to teach you the truth. But I'm not responsible for your soul. So be sure that you believe. Now the E of assurance. Verse 51. Verily, verily I say unto you. Go back to John 8:51. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, if a man memorize my saying, keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, some people, I don't know where they get it. I know errors in grammars or errors, and they create doctrines. They think you can lose. You have come to believe in the Lord Jesus, and for certain reason, whatever you do, you lose your salvation. The Catholic Church specializes in this. They have to do the extrema unzione. That means before you die, the priest has to come and get the last confession. Otherwise, you're going to a certain place where you pray and they move it up and put more money and move it up and so on. I've been in the country, so I know. But here's the truth. What is the condition? If you keep my saying, in other words, you know, you can be in church and be a fake and nobody knows. But if we give you time, then we know this. You live with the person, you meet the person, but you live with that person, you know that person. You know that person. And when you are with people, if they don't have the fruit of the Spirit, then you know there is something wrong with them. I will never judge you. I will never call you an unbeliever. But I will question your belief. And I will help you to check yourself if this is true. The E of assurance. And there is a reason. You go back to James in chapter 1 in James and in verse 22. James, the apostle James, half brother of the Lord Jesus, he really said these words in James' gospel, in James 1:22. In, let's see, way at the end. Of the Bible. Look at what James says in chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, now nobody can imitate the Christian. Nobody. Oh, you can imitate it for a moment. You can imitate it for the circumstances, but you cannot imitate the Christian in your private life. And your sin will find you out, said the scripture. In other words, you can hold yourself and be some kind of respectful thing, but nothing is uncovered under the sun, said Ecclesiastes number 12, verse 25. So, you know, this Christianity is not a religion, it's not an association, it's not a club. It's a reality of truth. Either you go to hell or you go to heaven. And what's the difference? You take Jesus or then they said. That's the if of Jesus. Let me tell you this. If you believe wrong, you live wrong, and you end wrong. When I left my country, my father took me apart. I was very young, 28. And he said, you're going to a foreign country, and I want to give you some instructions for your life. And he always gave me instructions. He was my boss. So And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk in such a way that you don't have to look back to see if something you did wrong finds you. I want you to walk clean with your wife, with your neighbors, with everybody. Just clean. You don't have to worry about behind you. I just want you that. And you know, here it is. If you believe wrong, you live wrong. Be sure of what you believe. I share my life with the people of my age, or older than me. So I learned the history of this city and I learned the history of their life. And from time to time, Leo and I, we drop some seed of the Word of God in a casual way to see if they grasp it. And some of them do. And one fellow, Rasmussen is his name. He's a Scandinavian. He said these words to me. Two things. You know, God knows how to press people. He has prostate cancer and he has a treatment to make. He said, he's 88. He said, don't do surgery. If you live one more year, that will be good to you. Oh, come on, I plan to live 10 years. Then don't do that. I said, don't do surgery. Go to a treatment. Then he went to the treatment, awful treatment, and had to go 35 times. And then he looked at me and said, if I die, is anything there? You know, why do we have to go to the extreme of 88 years old in life, and now you're going to die, and then you have to, is it really true, is it really true that there is life after death? And the other day, as I was talk about politics, talk about the army, the navy, where I was there, so good, and I listened, awaken for their answers, for their questions. Remember 1 Peter 3:15. It says, sanctify the Lord in your heart and be ready to give an answer with meekness and kindness. And that verse is in my head all the time. So I share. Somebody said, tell me, doctor, what is truth? And isn't that a great question? Who made that question before? Pilate. What is truth? Look, people, here's in the Bible. John 17:17. In John 17:17, the Bible tells you what is truth. Jesus is praying. This is the Lord's Prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. And in verse 17, he said these kind words. He said, sanctify them through thy word. And then he said, thy word is truth. Now, Jesus could use the word logos, the living word, but he used the word, the written word. He used the word rhema, the written word. The written word is truth. May God really bless you. And may God give you a thinking this morning, a very careful thinking of what you really believe. Is the song that we're going to remember your Savior? Has the song, as the choir sing 4 or 5 times repeating, may you free? Anything else is just baloney, like the young people said. It's just nothing. So may God touch your heart in such a way that you said, I wonder about this. I love that. And when you question the word of God and you come back to me, I love that. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Go home, pick up the Bible, and see if what I tell you is truth or not. And call me back. Because I had no authority over you except the responsibility of teaching. Here is the authority. In our church, no, even the board has authority. We cannot do anything that is not here. Period. And that's what this church is called, a congregational church, where the church decided by vote what way to go. And that's what I teach you, the Bible, with passion. So when you decided what God really said. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the divine word. Thank you, Father, for the beauty of Jesus. How simple he was and how profound he was as he brings to our attention with one little word, if he brings to our attention the depthness of life. Oh, bless us, oh, Father, and bless those who believe not. We love them, we care for them, and we will care until we die because we are here on this earth to be living witness of what you have done with us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Bearing all sins, my reason.